The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch.
We are back, and Meredith, you take the reins.
Okay, here we are in part three. So if your donkey has problems with the trot after previously described exercises, it will probably be in the hourglass pattern while under saddle. If he has difficulty maintaining the trot through the turns and serpentines through the middle, which you do when you do a half of the hourglass pattern, and continues to bulge either one way or the other, you can try one more thing to help him. Have your assistant ride a seasoned animal through the pattern ahead of you while you follow a few strides behind. Don't ride too close or too far away. Your donkey should be more than willing to follow. After all, doing things with friends is always more appealing. So when his trot is going well, it's time for your donkey to learn to canter and to fall apart again. Beginning with a complete review in the round pen, lunging at the walk and trot, ground driving at the walk and trot, turns at the walk and trot, and riding at the walk and trot, then dismount and try lunging first at the trot, then ask him to canter. Now, he would not have been able to do this before, but since his core strength is strong and posturally correct now, he may feel that he can, and he will offer it on his own if he can. Just use the same cues you did at the walk and trot. Give the verbal command first to canter, then shuffle your feet while raising both your arms, lunging from the middle, one arm pointing in the direction you wish him to travel, and the other one raised behind you with the whip in hand. And if he doesn't comply, then you do the whole whip thing all over again. And if he's just not doing it, then it's not time. So don't ask him. Just go back to what he already learned at the trot, and just don't keep asking for more right away, because he'll only get frustrated and he'll stop. If you are patient and consistent, he will canter further each time once he starts cantering. But again, if he takes one stride canter, stop him, go give him a reward, go, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And then maybe the next time you ask him, if you can try it again in the same lesson, if he doesn't want to do it, then just go back to trot, ask him to trot, and then give him a reward, quit, and don't ask him again until the next lesson. So if you keep these rules in mind as you do it, then he's going to improve. But it may not be in the same lesson that you want it to. So make sure that you and your assistant, if you're using one, are exactly in unison with your verbal commands, since you don't want to confuse the donkey. If after a few sessions he positively refuses to canter, fear not. You can always try something else first and come back to cantering later. If your donkey hasn't cantered in the round pen, go back to his lesson at the trot, allow him to succeed, and be rewarded. Then take him to the large arena and allow him to follow an experienced animal through the hourglass pattern and along the perimeter of the arena at the walk and trot. Remember, you have varied the different things that you can do with him now, and you don't have to just stay in the pattern. Now you can ride around the perimeter. And if he's following another animal, you can ride around the perimeter and just teach him to follow the animal first at walk and trot. Go ahead and do the long side and then do the serpentine through the other side of the hourglass pattern. Keep varying that before you even think about asking for the canter. And then, once he's doing all this following really well, you can have your assistant go ahead and go through the short side of the arena and canter down the long side. If he is cutting the corner, he wants to canter. If your donkey wants to canter to follow the animal that's cantering, but is cutting the corner, let him do it. It's more important at this stage to get the canter than it is to stay on the rail. Be sure to call out your verbal commands repetitively as he learns to canter. You will say, canter G for the right and canter haw for the left. These are important commands as donkeys are more responsive to verbal commands than they are to your legs and reins. So let him canter as long as he will, then stop and reward him, no matter what the other animal's doing. As long as he gave you canter, and if he's getting tired and wants to stop, let him stop. Give him a reward. He'll go for longer periods of time as he gains strength and coordination. So make your circles as large as possible. I try to keep them 50 feet in diameter, because if he starts doing smaller circles, he's going to start falling out of posture really badly. He's going to start leaning to the side, and there won't be equal weight of all 4 feet, and he won't be bending through his rib cage. When he's cantering or loping easily around the arena, you can begin to facilitate control at the canter by varying your exercises. Have him trot the short sides and canter the long sides of the perimeter of the arena. And be sure that he is picking up the proper lead in each direction right off the bat. If he doesn't, slow him down and then start again until he does, and always pick up the lead in the corner each time to help him. Don't try to do it along the long side while you're cantering. You come out of the corner, he's on the wrong lead. Don't try to do it again until the next corner. He has to have that help. If he's having difficulty picking up the right lead or the correct lead, then you're only going to exacerbate the problem by trying to do it on a straight line. So you want to be sure your circles are large enough to encourage good balance so that he can keep equal weight over all 4 feet. You can see in the pictures that I have the donkey behind the mule, in both pictures, he's not leaning. And in the picture on the bottom of the page, you can even see how his hind legs are coming up into the footprints of his front feet. And he's not leaning right or left. He's got his head bent to the left a little bit, but he's keeping his body straight. And this is what we want to do. So you don't even want to give him the opportunity to get off and continue going. Just stop if it's wrong. Just stop and start over and try to get the correct lead. And like I said, pick it up in the corner. Take him out into the open on the obstacle course and let him canter for some longer distances, both in a straight line and in a very large circle. Actually, the obstacles can help you if you are cantering around them, because he's going to be less likely to decrease the size of the circle and cut in through the middle if the obstacles are there to discourage him from doing it. It's kind of a visual block, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Right.
If you have obstacles a large distance apart, you can canter a circle around two or three of them. I wouldn't canter a circle around one until he's really got good balance at the canter. See, we're just building this balance, so you got to keep these circles big so he can maintain his good posture. If he breaks to the trot at any time during any of the aforementioned exercises, do not let him continue at a fast trot. This is not a lengthened trot, and it will inhibit his being able to learn to do the extended trot if he thinks he can just trot faster. Just think of that as not an acceptable gait. No, we're not going to do it. Slow him to the walk, then halt, regroup, and begin again. You want to always maintain your control. As the donkey canters more and more, he will become better balanced and better coordinated. He will become stronger and be able to carry the canter for longer periods of time. So don't get in a hurry. He will do as he is able. That is the nature of the donkey. We are not teaching him to do things. We are conditioning his body to be able to carry us as a rider and do things that we would like to do. So keep in mind the sequence. the logical sequence of what you're trying to do here, and be willing to break it down to small, controllable steps, just knowing that down the line you're going to be able to rate him at any speed you want and have him perform, correct? Because that's the end result. But that certainly is not what you try to do now. This is all beginning foundation stuff. And when he's cantering easily, and he's obedient through his transitions from walk to trot to canter, and from canter to trot to walk, and always go through the gates, don't go from canter to walk or canter to halt, no abrupt changes whatsoever, that will only jam the joints and make him sore, and besides creating tension because he doesn't know what the heck you're going to do next. So you can begin then to teach him to change leads and negotiate smaller circles. That's when this comes in. Begin in the large arena and review his previous lessons, ending with turns on the haunches along the rail. Designate a circle in the middle of your arena, and starting along the rail, pick up a canter, make a full circle, ride along the rail a short distance, then ask him to stop. Do a turn on the haunches into the rail, and resume the canter on the circle in the opposite direction, and repeat. This will help him to be more prompt into the canter, since he's going to be doing it from a reverse. Don't just go in and try to do a figure eight right away. That's a little bit more complicated, because it will cause his body to go out of good posture and lean one direction or the other. If he's doing a reverse on the fence and changing directions that way first, then he's practicing what he's going to have to do in the middle of the figure eight. And he will learn to keep his body in good posture through the middle of the two circles. But that doesn't come till later. After about two or three circles, you can straighten your donkey as he rounds towards the middle of the arena. And you can ask him to trot through the center on a straight line. Then pick up the opposite lead and circle once or twice in the other half of the arena. Ask him to canter G, canter G, canter G, and trot, 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 and canter haw, and so on. If he misses the change of lead, just stop him and start again. Only this time, bring him to a walk in the middle, then pick up the trot and canter as you round the new bend. If he gets it wrong and tries to rush, you may even have to stop him in the middle, walk, then trot, then canter on the new bend. But do you get what I'm saying here? We want it controlled.
Right.
So whatever you have to do in the middle of the figure eight, and it's not just a figure eight. An eight actually doesn't have a straight line in the middle. But you want to put one in there, and you want to make it long enough so that he has time to rebalance his body for the new lead. You don't want to just automatically right away change direction. And that's why I say, if he doesn't slow easily to a trot, it's because he's out of balance. He just can't balance that way. So that means then don't even think about going to canter until you've got him to a walk, then a trot again, and then the canter. So on the straight line, and then just pick up the canter on the bend through the middle. So the same goes for every other command. If you want to stop and he's cantering, don't forget to speak in order. Canter, canter, trot, trot, walk, walk, and whoa. If you just say canter and then just whoa, you will produce a sloppy and resistant transition. Since donkeys aren't really into sliding stops, they can do small sliding stops. Little Jack Horner was able to do that. But don't ask them for a long one, and don't even expect it. It's not going to happen. So, and then if you do want a reining donkey, the way I did with Little Jack Horner, gauge how far he can slide when he offers it. And don't ask him for any more than that.
Right.
If he does it, just stop him where he is. Go, good, that was wonderful. He may slide further the next time. He may not slide as far. But you reward him every time he does, because you'll know that he slid.
Right.
You don't want him to go slide, bounce, bounce, or anything like that. stop him before he does that. And like I said, even professional reining trainers will tell you that an equine only has so many good sliding stops in him, and it's not advisable to do such strenuous and abrupt movements too often. So be concise with your verbal commands and try not to leave any out when conversing with your donkey. While in the open, after he's getting more adept at the canter and he's changing leads fairly easily and accurately, you can begin to teach him to change leads on a straight line. And when you do, you use the same command that you do when you're asking him to change leads in the middle, because what's going to happen if he's on the circle of a figure eight, say, and you come to your straight line, you're going to go canter, canter around the circle, then trot, 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 and maybe even walk, walk, trot, trot, canter, canter. And so when you're doing this on the straight line, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to go canter, canter in a straight line, and then trot, trot, and then walk, walk. In the beginning, you'll probably have to go to the walk, and then go canter, canter. But don't be afraid on the straight line to not just say canter, but if he's going to the left, you go canter, G, trot, 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 walk, walk, canter, ha, canter, ha, to put him on the next lead. And you can teach him to change leads on a straight line that way, because he will be listening to your voice. And without the circle, it's kind of hard to know, for him to know what lead you're going to ask for. So he has to depend on that verbal command. And then he will know. And in the beginning, you may have to bend him a little bit more than you would on the straight line, like you're going through poles, for instance. If you were a pole bender, you'd go through the poles and you'd ask for a whole lot more bend, because the poles are in the way and you have to bend, but they're still on a straight line. So if you think of things in those terms, and then you go canter ha, canter ha, canter ha, walk, or trot, 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 walk, walk, canter G, and just do it like that, and try to keep him each time, each lesson, as straight as you can. Pretty soon, he will be able to change leads through those gates in a straight line without being bent at all, just going straight forward. And this is going to be setting him up for his flying lead changes. Now, many times donkeys are not comfortable with the size of a round pen canter circle. My round pen's 45 feet, for instance, but that's why I take the donkeys to the open arena to learn to canter behind an animal that's leading, because it's really hard for them to maintain equal weight over all 4 feet on a 45 diameter circle. It seems to worry them because they're so sensitive to even the slightest loss of balance when trying to perform. I think you will also find that your donkey, in learning to canter in a more open space, is more willing to accommodate you in the round pen later. By the same token, we've not bothered with the lunge line in the round pen and in the open for the same reason. After your donkey is sufficiently broke to saddle or harness or both, he will lunge very nicely on the lunge line all on his own, because he will have the conditioning to be able to balance himself then. So you're going to go ahead and do these, all of these little exercises that I've described here. If he has difficulty maintaining the trot through the turns and serpentines through the middle and continues to bulge one way or the other, you can always try one more thing to help him. Have your assistant ride the seasoned animal through the pattern ahead of you while you follow the few strides behind and do these same changes. Again, don't ride too close or too far away. So this is what you're going to be doing. Now it is time for your donkey to learn to move laterally. Now, we touched on that a little bit, but it's essential for the overall balance and posture of your donkey. It will improve muscle strength throughout his body, and it will reduce the risk of injury or soreness while he's being ridden or driven. You can begin his lateral work on the drive lines in the larger arena, and you begin by driving your donkey through the hourglass pattern. As he approaches the first corner cone, ask him to circle it and turn down the center line instead of moving down the short side of the next cone. Let him move straight for a few steps, and then with your assistant at his head, ask him to move forward and sideways away from your circle. The centrifugal force from the circle should send him onto the diagonal with little resistance, and your assistant will be in front to keep him from just running forward. This is very tricky stuff. There are diagrams in article number part 8, and they will show you one of the patterns that I just described, and it will give you other patterns that you can do to teach your donkey to go laterally. While you're ground driving him, you need to really pay attention that your legs match his steps laterally while he's moving, and that he's crossing over in front with the leading leg in the direction of travel. Don't let him just step over with an inside leg. Have him cross over that outside leg, and then you follow his back legs with yours as he goes sideways. And with your assistant out front on the lead line, she will be able to move into him and cause him to move away from her and follow your leading rein, which you are squeezing with your little finger in the direction of travel, while you keep a little tension on the outside rein to keep his body as straight as you can. And in the beginning, he's going to get crooked. He's going to have more bend in it because it's really going to be hard for him to move sideways and do all these things perfectly. Now, the first picture in part 8 shows little Jack Horner doing this very well. And this is your goal, but it isn't what you're going to see in the beginning. So he's going to be bent with his head away from the direction that you're in. He may try to cross behind with his front feet, and he might be crossing behind with his back feet, because those two should be crossing in front. And you should be aware of that when you're following his legs, that the leading leg that you have going to the side should be crossed over by the leg that is following it in the front of the first leg. So it's really important that you learn to do this, and you'll have to get... So there are several different variations on this whole theme, and like I said, there's a lot of diagrams that I have for you to follow. Just always be willing to stop and reward him for what he's doing, and then get your lines adjusted, walk slowly, try to control the bend more, and if you have to, take it one step at a time between these cones. Don't think you got to do the whole distance in one move.
Right.
We want to make this broken down into individual steps, individual correct steps with the correct bend, with the correct movement of the feet, keeping the equal weight over all 4 feet, so this is even possible. Then there's a lot of variations on that, like I said. And once he learns to go a distance between the corner cones and the middle cones, and he's keeping his balance fairly well, and you want to get him to just continue the motion through the whole pattern, then you can get started and do a circle at the cone in the corner, laterally move him to the gate cone, take a circle to the opposite direction, and then go ahead and move him laterally to the other corner cone. Don't take a circle on that one. Go through that short side. There's a diagram that shows this. And then take another circle, go to the next gate cone. And this is just another variation on the lateral motion, but it's kind of ongoing without any halts. And it'll kind of teach him how to be more fluid with his changes of direction in the lateral movements. And again, you practice this again, a step by step by step, as he is able to execute more distance in it while maintaining his good body position. When he can do this in the drive lines, when he has learned to drive and ride laterally in the arena, you can take your donkey to the obstacle course and put these movements to work. and you begin with your assistant aiding you first in side passing a log placed near a fence. It will be parallel to the fence. His face will be parallel to the fence. And then you can try a log in the open and side passing it open. Then you can try side passing a T. You can try backing through barrels in a figure eight pattern using turns on the forehand and haunches to negotiate the pattern. Finally, you can teach him to move appropriately while you are opening and closing a gate, both on the drive lines and under saddle. Gets a little tricky on the drive lines. He needs to know undeniably when to stop and when not to move. And once he gets the idea on each of these obstacles, you can eliminate the assistant and ask him to take more responsibility for himself. He should be able to do everything he learns, both under saddle and on the drive lines. There is no rule as to which he needs to learn first, but he should learn both under saddle and in the drive lines to be as responsive as he can possibly be, either in harness or under saddle. So you've introduced your donkey to some lateral techniques, both in the arena and over obstacles. And you're perhaps discovering that he's a lot better at some things than he is at others. You might find that he quits trying and goes through the bridle going straight instead of laterally. You must understand that the lateral work is very taxing for your donkey's muscles, and it will tire him quickly. When he gets tired, he will run through the bridle and refuse to move laterally. So stop your lesson. If he starts doing that, do something straight that he can do easily, reward him for it, and quit. This will usually happen at the trot, but rarely at the walk. If you find your donkey behaving in this manner, it's best to go to walk and perform only one correct lateral bend, then end the lesson there and resume it on another day when he is fully rested. Lateral work should really be done only once or twice a week at the most. This isn't something you can do every other day. It is very taxing. And there should be at least 3 days between lateral sessions. Check to make sure that the placement of your donkey's side pass rail near the fence is correct. It should be about 3/4 of your donkey's length from the fence and lay parallel to the fence so that when he stands with his nose 6 inches from the fence, the ground rail lies directly under the middle of his barrel, equal distant from the front legs and rear legs. If it doesn't, he's going to be rocking back and forth, and you're not going to get a good straight side pass. When you lay out your T-poles, there needs to be room for him to swing his shoulders or haunches around to the next pole, where there must be room for him to swing his shoulders or haunches, where all three poles come together. So don't put them too close together. Don't be afraid to put a lot of space at the top of the tee where all three poles are. This will just give him much more room to swing his haunches around and swing his forehand around when he has to change his position to side pass the next rail. While ground driving your donkey, your assistant can help to steady him from the front, and after some repetition, he should begin to comply easily. When riding your donkey over these obstacles, your assistant can help to show your donkey what's expected, but then you're on your own. Using the next 4 exercises will help to clarify lateral moves to your donkey and make them easier for him to negotiate. If you begin on the rail and spiral down to smaller circle in 3 revolutions, then leg yield back to the larger circle. The first you will do is a spiral as described before with just a few modifications. Begin at the walk and then move into a trot as the circle gets smaller. So, and see how long he can keep his balance. And don't make the circle any smaller than he can keep his balance. And then when he starts to lose his balance, just leg yield him back out to the bigger circle. You can use your crop at his shoulder or hip to encourage him to move more sideways at the walk. Do it only a few times, Once he understands what's expected, you can pick up the trot as the circle becomes larger and yield at the trot to the larger circle. As you decrease the size of the circle, take him out of the trot and into the walk, and just walk the smaller circle. You can begin to go ahead and do like I said, and just yield him back out to the larger circle. But if you want to see how far he can go on the smaller circle, then you will have to do it at the walk at first. He will not be able to maintain his balance at trot. So basically, you're going to do the big circle, and if you're going to do it at the trot, then go ahead and trot. Then you can slow him to the walk. If he starts to lose balance, take him to as small a circle as he can do in good posture at the walk. Then move him from your leg back out to the larger circle, and as soon as he seems like he's moving pretty easily, move to trot. And then trot him out to the bigger circle. And you would do the same thing if you're going to canter the big circle. Then you canter and make it smaller and smaller until he starts to lose his balance. Then go to trot, maintaining good balance, and then decreasing the size of the circle. Then when he starts to lose it at trot, move him to walk. And then take him to the smallest circle he can do in good balance. And then walk around and around and enlarge the circle again until he feels good at the trot. Then go ahead and enlarge it more and more until he feels like he's in balance enough to go ahead and ask for the canter. And then go ahead and do that. And then halt and be sure to reward him. Now, this is going to take quite a few times, because the ultimate goal is to be able to decrease the size of the circle enough to get to a canter pirouette, or to slow down to a halt and plant the pivot foot in a reining spin. So keeping his balance throughout this decreasing of the circle is vitally important. Don't hurry it. Don't force it. It will come. He will get to the point where he will be able to canter a tiny, tiny circle when he's strong enough to do it. And ground driving, you can't really do canter at ground driving, obviously. But go ahead and do your ground driving in the T-poles and do them along the fence and for the side pass and all of these things. Take him into the obstacles where there are opportunities to do lateral moves. Now, he has learned up to a certain point on the drivelines just to walk through the tractor tire, for instance. But now you might think about having him put his front feet in the tractor tire and then doing a turn on the forehand with his front feet in the tractor tire and his back feet out. You can think about taking him into the tractor tire and stopping with his back feet in and leaving his front feet out and doing a turn on the haunches. And this will just help him to strengthen his core so that when he gets on that decreasing circle, he'll be able to maintain the canter for longer as the circle decreases. So this is an important thing that he can definitely do. There are a lot of lateral exercises that you can do on the drive lines that will enhance what he's going to be doing under saddle. You can begin on the rail and spiral down to a small circle and three revolutions at the canter. Then leg yield back out to the larger circle. And you're not going to be able to come down to as small a circle on the canter as you did, but just keep him going and spiraling down as far as he can while maintaining good posture. And you can pick up the circle at the trot as he gets it bigger. Instead of making it, you know, bigger and faster, make it bigger and slower. And each time he finishes a cycle, remember to reward him for his efforts. When he's performing well at the walk and trot, we can vary this pattern just a little bit more. You can ask him to canter the larger circle while you spiral down to the halfway point. We've described that before. And just do a lot of different variations on this as he is able to keep his balance. And don't make transitions too often in the beginning. You can make the transitions more often as he gets more balanced and strong in his balance. Then he has learned to side pass on the rail, over a rail, along the rail. But now we want to do like the ground pole, only we're not going to put the ground pole there. We're going to walk along the rail, and as you come out of the corner on the short side, you're going to put your donkey at a 45-degree angle to the rail, and with a partial turn on the forehand, do that correctly, then ask him to maintain the angle all the way down the long side of the arena. Only go as far as he can go, and then stop him if he starts changing position. Stop the lesson there. Take a break in between, 3 days in between, before you try it again. And each time he should be able to go longer, farther down the long side before he's finally doing the entire long side at the 45-degree angle. In the beginning, you'll probably find that you'll have to first move the haunches, then move the shoulders, first move the haunches, then move the shoulders to get him to get the idea of what you want. And reward him often to let him know he's done it correctly, because nothing works better than positive reinforcement. So just get him started on this lateral stuff in steps again. And it's going to take a while. It just does. That's all there is to it. So be willing to be patient and go ahead and do it. Then you'll be leg yielding your donkey from the corner of the arena to the center of the hourglass pattern under saddle, making circles and variations on these patterns that we've talked about that we did on the drive lines. And when he's done them well at the walk, then you can do them at the trot. Cantering laterally becomes another movement at third level dressage. And the positioning is different. It's called the half pass, where he actually bends his body in the direction of travel, because that's what he would have to do. And you can trot that way in that position too, but in order to actually get a canter, he has to be bent that direction. And it's no longer a leg yield or a side pass, it's a half pass. So you're going to be working for at least 3 or 4 years on your donkey before you get to that point, if he ever decides to give you that much effort.
Sure.
Now, little Jack Horner, he made it to leg yield, and then he decided that was about all the work he wanted to do. But my mule, Sundowner, he went past that and got into third and fourth level dressage, where he was actually doing canter pirouettes and doing these half passes. So you have to take into consideration the level of performance that you're really asking for, and realize it's going to take conditioning, muscles, tendons, ligaments, connective tissue, cartilage, positioning of the bones and everything that need to be symmetrically and ideally conditioned before they're going to be able to reach that level of performance. But these exercises should help to improve your donkey's negotiation of all kinds of different lateral movements, and will greatly improve his side passing ability. But remember, always take things slowly and build one thing upon another. Don't do anything any faster than you can do it right. You are not only negotiating movements and obstacles, you are also conditioning your donkey's muscles and tendons to perform properly and strengthening them while he's in motion. So you'd better do it correctly, or you could cause extreme soreness, crookedness, and other side effects that will inhibit his performance and affect his overall health. Be kind to your donkey, and he will reciprocate. Now, we can go a little bit further even with the donkey. The little Jack Horner, he really wanted to do everything the mules were doing. And so I thought, okay, if you think you can do all this stuff, like I said, he didn't do real well at cantering laterally going into a half pass. So I decided to take him in the direction of jumping. And it's really important that your donkey be in the best posture he can be in while he's performing at this level of training. The way that he's moving with his body is the way his muscles and tendons will be strengthened and toned, and the way his bones will become permanently aligned. It's difficult for a rider to maintain this impeccable balance through every step and every stride. And for this reason, you'll use your elbow pull training aid to encourage your donkey's good posture throughout training. So even if you're riding him, you want to put that elbow pull on, because he's going to have to be messing with your rider balance, and you're getting into some things that are probably beyond your capability of riding. So you want to give yourself as much help as you can possibly get. And the elbow pull will help to maintain his proper frame and his balance without you having to fuss with anything. The elbow pull is most helpful during lateral movements, but it also helps him to maintain his balance through transitions and changes of direction. So get in the habit of using it all the time during this intermediate training. When he's going well and staying in proper frame, light on the bit and responsive to your cues, and when the elbow pull is loose throughout all of his workouts, only then should you remove it. Now, you need to teach your donkey to lengthen his trot. And a lengthened trot is no more than covering more ground with the same rhythm and cadence of his working trot. He will not be able to lengthen from a single foot trot. Now, they say a lot of donkeys are gaited, but you can really tell if your donkey is gaited or not, because this single foot trot they talk about, which a lot of people think is gaited, is really not gaited.
Right.
A true gaited trot is a 4-beat trot. It's 4-beat. It's not 2. A normal trot is 2-beat. A gaited trot is 4-beat, where every foot hits the ground individually. So this is where you're going to find out if your donkey is truly gaited or not, is when you have him in the elbow pull and you go ahead and you want to lengthen his trot and you'll push him into it, and he should step well underneath with his hind feet and land in the footprints of his front feet in a 2-beat gait. If he's doing 4-beat, he's gaited, and you're going to have a horrible time trying to get a lengthening from him. I don't know that it's even possible. Idealistically speaking, if he could get enough suspension, he could get a 4-beat trot lengthened in a gated gait.
Okay.
But highly unlikely with a donkey.
Yeah.
Possible with a mule, maybe. Maybe. It's hard enough to do this with a horse.
Yeah.
It's basically trying to get passage out of your mule or donkey.
Yeah.
And Sundowner did it. My mule did it. But Little Jack Horner, there was no way he's going to do that. That was just way too much effort for him. So, but a lengthening at the walk is a more ground-covering walk, trot, or canter, but maintains the same rhythm and cadence. In the beginning, it seems like there's very little difference between the working gaits and the lengthened gaits. But as he gets stronger and the more agile, the difference will become more apparent, because he will spend more time in suspension and thus cover more ground. You can use ground poles to help him lengthen the trot and even to lengthen the walk. At first, you just set your poles according to what the normal working gait is. But then when you want to start lengthening those gaits, what you want to do is put more distance between the poles and then keep the same rhythm as he's coming to them. And what you will feel when he goes over those ground poles, you'll feel him going into suspension longer. It's a strange feeling, because you kind of expect to go tap, tap, tap through the poles like you did when they were spaced evenly apart for his working trot. But when you lengthen the distance between them, then he goes trot, 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 and you're in suspension a lot longer, but you're maintaining the same rhythm. At first, he will expect to stop, so he'll stay slow and listen to your aids. Second, and by the time he does realize that you're going over the poles, it's too late for him to bolt and run, and he will negotiate the poles correctly. When he's trotting over the poles calmly and correctly, you can begin to school the lengthening over them by spacing them apart at each session. Don't add more than an inch at a time in any given session while you're trying to lengthen his trot more and more each time. He can't do a really good lengthening just right off the bat. That has to be cultivated. Just like everything else, you've got to do it in small increments. So you start out by moving those poles maybe an inch more apart than you do at the working trot. Then the next, if he does well over that, then and leave a day of rest in between. Then go back again and add 2 inches between the poles. Then add another day of rest between them if he does it well, or repeat it if he needs it. And just keep gauging his performance and lengthening the poles until he just can't lengthen them, his stride, anymore. That he's given you everything he can. And you'll know when that happens because he's going to hit rails. If it's too far, he's going to start clipping rails. Another thing that's helpful, if you're going to be jumping your donkey or your mule, they need to be able to regulate their stride. He's now lengthened. He's learned about time and suspension, and he knows how to move his body into suspension when you ask for it. And he's got his elbow pull on so that he can negotiate the body. If he needs to, he can lean on the elbow pull to go into suspension. And you're going to use what's called a canter pole, and you'll put that perpendicular to the long side of the arena in the middle and gallop a circle or canter a circle in the middle of the arena and come around to the fence on the long side of the arena towards this pole. And you're going to try to get him to shorten his stride by deepening your seat and asking him to slow a little bit. And the first few times, he may hit the rail. He may hit the pole. But once he knows it's there, he's going to start doing what we call gauging his stride. So he will, about 3 strides out, he'll begin to shorten his stride so that that last jump over the pole will have his weight-bearing foot maybe only about 1 foot away from the pole. And it's almost like approaching a jump, as if the pole was a jump, but it's not. It's a pole. And it's just to prepare him to learn how to negotiate a jump by gauging his stride as he's coming to a jump. The other thing that will help him, too, is that you will be able to start gauging when he is 3 strides out from the pole or a jump that you're approaching. And you will vary your position accordingly. If you're going between jumps, you're going to be in a 2-point position. And then when you are 3 strides out from the jump, you will go into a full seat position, and that's a 3-point position. And then going over the jump, you will be back in your 2-point position over the top of the jump, and then you'll slide into your 3-point position again on the other side of the jump when you're landing. So your animal needs you to balance your body on and off his back. When you're on his back in a full seat position, it gives him the heads up for what they call a half halt. That means it's going to slow down. We're going to slow down, and we're going to maybe even stop. So when he lands on the far side of the jump, you need to be in the 3-point position. And then when he hits with his front feet, he'll hit with his front feet. The back feet will hit. Then the front feet will come off the ground again into his next stride. And then that is when you ask him for a halt after the jump. So that you are in full seat position when you are asking for the halt. You can put full weight into your seat bones. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So this is really important when you're balancing over a jump that you learn these things.
Yeah.
The other thing is you need to learn to rate your donkey's speed.
Mm-hmm.
He has to learn to speed up and slow down as you ask with your seat. And you can practice these things. You can practice 2-point and 3-point through cavalettis that are spaced accordingly, through gymnastic jumps that are spaced accordingly. You start with a ground rail, then you have cross poles, then you might have an oxer, which is 2 jumps wide, coming back to a cross rail, coming back to the ground rail, so you can jump at both directions. These are a whole lot of different exercises you can do to help your donkey to control his speed, control his strides, to adjust his transitions accordingly, to be able to do his lead changes properly, where he is going into suspension in a figure eight. Eventually, he should be coming up into suspension and changing leads simultaneously, front and back. That is the ideal way to do it. A lot of people go, oh, my animal changes in the front first. Mine changes in the back first. That just means your animal is out of balance. That means he's too far forward if he's changing in the front first. It means he's too far back if he's changing in the back first.
Mm-hmm.
He should go through that straight line, through those circles, for an instant where he's in suspension and his legs just change in midair. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I have a picture of Sundowner doing that, and I don't even think people realize that's an ideal flying change because he wasn't exactly on the bit when he did it. The legs were right, but the way I was holding my reins and everything wasn't right. We were in one of those moments of difficulty.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. So there are a lot of things that you can do, and Little Jack Horner proved that donkeys can do almost everything that mules can do. And mules can do everything that their horse mothers can do, and even then some. So if you were to go on into other kinds of jumps, you'd approach them all basically the same way, looking about the elements that I mentioned to you and paying attention to accuracy and correctness and slow speed until you know you've got it made. And your donkey needs to be strong to jump and should be schooled so he can jump from the trot or canter equally well. If he's built up slowly and becomes strong in a healthy way, there is no reason he shouldn't be able to do this. Do not just trot around and jump or canter around and jump. This accomplishes nothing but risk to you and your donkey. It is both unsafe and unhealthy. End each workout by allowing your donkey to trot, then walk on the long rein around the perimeter of the arena in both directions to relax his muscles and let down. This is what athletes have to do to be able to develop properly. And if you school him properly, you and your donkey will have many enjoyable years together doing anything and everything that you want to do. Any questions?
This is really neat. Do you happen to know what is the highest level of dressage that any donkey that you know of has achieved?
I don't know any donkey that has gone past second level and into third level at the very bottom.
Okay.
Other than Little Jack Horner.
Okay.
And the same with jumping. I've known a lot of donkeys that have managed to make 2.6 and 2.9, but Little Jack Horner made 4 feet.
Wow.
But I spent a lot of years being very patient and breaking things down into all these little steps
right.
that I've written about. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they existed when I started, you know, and I don't imagine a lot of people do.
Right.
You know, most of us just want to get on and ride, and we want to go trail riding with our friends, and then there's those that trail riders are the ones that poo-poo showing, but showing is a place where you can be competitive and learn a lot. You learn a lot more when you get into competitive activities.
Sure.
It challenges you more. It challenges your animal more. And then that's when you find out how weak they are and how abusive you've been.
Right. You know? Right.
Then you go, oh my God, why did I do it that way? I didn't know that. Well, the nice thing about it is you honestly didn't know anything about it until you challenged yourself.
Right.
But that's also one of the reasons that I put this stuff out for people, so that they can get a glimpse into many, many more things that can be developed in you and your animals than what you can even imagine. And if you're so inclined and say you didn't think you could show well enough to beat anybody at the show, and you stopped yourself from doing it for only that reason, then I'm here to tell you, I think you can do it. If you break it down like this, and you ride in the bowl, and you keep criticizing yourself and not letting other people criticize you, then you will gain the confidence and the ability to condition yourself and your animal so you will be competitive, and other people are going to have to do the same to keep up with you.
Right.
That's why I started this whole thing about teaching people how to be their own trainers.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the sake of less money to spend or anything like that.
Right.
It was really just to help people get the most out of their animals and the most out of themselves and have the most fun. And I'm not trying to shortchange trainers either, because we all need those trainers as coaches to help guide us. And sometimes our mules and donkeys, and the horses and ponies need trainers to get them on a level where we can manage them.
Right, right.
You know, so things can come together. So there really is value in everything that everybody does. Even the most beginning riders and beginning horse people and mule people can teach you things you never thought of if you listen. You know?
That's right.
But if you're too busy showing off, you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
This is the way I look at things. I can learn from anyone and everyone. And when I do, I'm going to write it down and I'm going to share it with everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly taking notes on stuff, and I keep a diary on everything.
Me too.
Right.
I keep a diary on every animal.
Right, right.
Because they all do something different.
That's right.
I have different relationships with every one of them. and I try to make it the most enhancing relationship with every one of them. But they all take me down a different path. I have a different journey with every one of them.
That's really cool, Meredith. Well, we did another one, and this is really cool stuff. You have a wonderful afternoon, and we will talk soon.
Sounds perfect, Cindy.
Meredith's website is lucky3ranch.com, and you can call her at 1-800-816-7566. And I can be reached through my website, everycowgirlsdream.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.